This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Today, our feature review is Men in Black International. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Welcome along to this fourth iteration, fourth iteration in the Men in Black universe. The desperate attempt by Sony to reboot, so to speak, this Men in Blackiverse.
Is it that they want to reboot the thing, or is it that they signed Chris Hemsworth and he just was in a wicked-ass big movie?
Maybe that too. Well, let's hear it. Anyway, so it's directed by F. Gary Gray, he who did The Fate of the Furious. Yes, as well as several other films, going all the way back to The Negotiator with He Who Should Not Be Named and Samuel L. Jackson.
It's been a while.
It's written by Art Markham and Matt Holloway, based, of course, on the comic by Lau Cunningham, The Men in Black. It stars, as you've mentioned, Chris Hemsworth, Tessa Thompson, Rebecca Ferguson, who both you and I recognized before you did, which is hilarious given your crush on her.
Oh, yeah.
Kumail Nanjiani, Rafe Spall, and Emma Thompson, and Liam Neeson, who also is Flavor of the Year, he should not be mentioned. Mm. Music is by Danny Elfman and Chris Bacon, worth mentioning. The budget, $94 to $110 million, according to Wikipedia. And again, box office is irrelevant because we're only talking on the first Sunday, but my understanding is it's not doing well.
Not a huge surprise.
Again, not to bury the lead.
Right.
What's it about, Wayne?
Okay. Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth are headlining the new generation of Galaxy Defenders. Tess Thompson...
Sorry, I think you meant to say, Galaxy Defenders!
Is that a song? I mean, I like your rendition,
what?
But I don't...
No!
Welcome back to the soundboard.
Oh, from the Men in Black
Thank
song!
You know,
that rendition needed some work. I couldn't pick that up at all.
I think we're all well aware of how well I sing, especially with this ongoing fucking virus which I am sporting.
God. Okay. Well,
sure, that's the reason, Paul.
Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth are the rookie and veteran MIB agents who go out on assignment together. See, Tessa Thompson's Agent M, she witnessed her parents being neuralized by MIB agents when she was a young girl in Brooklyn. Ever since then, she's been trying to crack her way into the MIB. She finally does it, and O, who is Emma Thompson...
Reprising her role, apparently.
She's like one of the only ones that is. Sends her to the London office to help with this vague, undefined problem. So her and Hemsworth go together, discovering there's a mole within the organization, which has some potentially far-reaching consequences, and hijinks ensue. So,
yes, they do, with shout-out to the God of Pass podcasting, Loy Sauce from the Epic Film Guys.
That's something someone else says, isn't it?
Hijinks ensue.
Got it.
All right, let's get an early reaction, Wayne. First of all, no spoilers. If you're new to the show, welcome. It's great to have you here. We don't spoil anything until we hit the soundboard sound effect for that purpose. What do you think of Men in Black International?
There's something wrong with this movie, I think.
What? No!
You know, I was not excited to see this movie. Right? I love the Men in Black.
So like, you went in negative.
I just didn't have any opinion at all. I'm like, let's just see what they can do. Yeah. I was really, as always, I'm giving them a shot. I'm like, yeah, come on, show me, right? So then the first scene is like a flashback where Liam Neeson and Chris Hemsworth go to the Eiffel Tower to do something, right? And at that moment, I thought, oh, this might actually be good. It looked quite nice. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. And they had the same like styling as the letters and all that sort of shit.
Yeah, same styling. And F. Gary Gray is really aping Barry Sonnenfeld's direction for the first one in particular.
Which is something I think I liked because I loved that back then.
Yeah, a lot of the dolly shots and dolling up to people's faces.
And now, having said all of that, that scene happened. And then I'm like... Honestly, there's not enough things going splat, and there's definitely not enough goo. There used to be like this stomach-churning kind of grotesquerie, like Vincent D'Onofrio in the first one.
Yeah.
There's none of that here. All the explosions are controlled and clean. So if this is a Men in Black thing, it should be extravagant and nuts and puppets almost and not civilized like this. It's like they forgot to have fun. And I think the tone all the way through, you and me, we watched this together.
Advanced screening with thanks, of course, to... Kathy Sharp?
Yes. I think we leaned over to say something, and I just went, there's something wrong here. There was a problem with the comedy and the developments in the plot, and I didn't believe in things that were happening.
There absolutely is a problem with the comedy. This film is markedly unfunny, despite the presence of Chris Hemsworth.
Who we know knows funny.
Is a very comedic actor and does very, very... In fact, he's the... it's almost bad to say this, but he's one of the saving graces of that Ghostbusters reboot.
I agree completely.
Without him, that film would be even worse
Totally.
Than it was. But here, all his shtick falls flat. I don't know. Even the cinema. It's not like just you and I, because it was pretty busy, the cinema, as they often are at advanced screenings. In fact, we got shunted from the one we were meant to be into a sort of bonus screening, if you will.
Yeah, that's right.
Which there were so huge. Many people turning up to see this on that very popular night. Yet, the cinema was largely quiet all the way through until about an hour mark, where we'll talk about in spoilers what happens. But
yeah.
Up until that point, the jokes all fall flat.
You know why? It's suffering some kind of tonal problem. And also, I'm sitting, like, Chris Hemsworth seems to be shit at his job, even though he's revered by everyone to be the best agent ever. Like, he keeps on doing dumb shit. There is a little bit of a development that has to do with that.
Yeah, and some of that, in fact, all of it, really, if you think about it, is explained by the end of the film, which would be also be a spoiler.
But, and I understand that, however, you have to deal with that for half the movie.
Well, more than that.
More than that, a long time, right?
About 90% of the film.
Yeah, exactly. So if that's the note they're playing, and it doesn't ring true because you're seeing him not actively be good, then now the character is a little bit shit, and the whole premise is shit because you don't believe it.
Can I give you an example of how the comedy is in this film?
Yeah.
Liam Neeson's character is the head of the London office.
Right.
They all get a letter to their name.
Yeah,
his
that's right.
Agent. High T.
High T, I know. Because he's British, you see.
High T. Just let that marinate for a second, ladies and gentlemen.
That's actually a new development.
It's awful. It's just not funny.
Honestly, I don't care about that because it wasn't harped upon, but I did understand. Like, when I read this, I was like, he's High T. And it was like, I didn't realize. I mean, I'm not saying it was good.
Saddened by even your Beavis and Butthead chuckle.
I'm not saying anything. Like, it was even remote. Like, I just didn't notice it, right? And it didn't bother me. I guess that's what it's saying.
And then if we want to go a little bit further into... Okay, so I said the comedy's terrible. I didn't like this movie particularly much, if I'm not being obvious. It's not a great film. It's not as egregiously bad as some of the reviews are saying, however. It's fine.
Yeah, it's not offensive.
No, it's fine. That's as nice a thing as I can say about it. What's fine about it? Some of the special effects are pretty good.
Yeah.
Some of.
Yeah, sorry, a couple... Right?
There is a great scene. There's a battle in a London street.
It's a chase scene, really. Sort of.
Not really. Oh, okay. No. There's a battle in a London street of guns firing at each other.
Oh, different one. Explosions. Yeah.
That's all cool.
Yeah, yeah. That was good.
Near St. Paul's Cathedral, I'm pretty sure.
That's right.
There is a chase scene in Marrakesh. Does not look so good.
That's the one
In fact, it looks awful.
It's for what it, the weird thing is that they're really disparate. Like some.
Yes, and there's only 25 minutes between those two scenes.
Yeah, and then the other one's like, what the fuck? They obviously had to rush that one through. So it just does. It goes places it doesn't need to go, this show.
I think you said on the night, if I may call up, a general criticism, it kind of flounders. Like, there's a whole bunch of non-interesting stuff. It's just padding the runtime out. And this is the longest Men in Black film by a few minutes, 117 minutes. And about 9 minutes of that's credits. And by the way, there are no extra scenes.
Wayne's
like, can we leave? And I'm like, no, we should see for our listeners. And he's like, we always forget to talk about it. I'm like, well, I'll make a point.
Okay,
I'm making that point. There are no scenes during the end credits.
So. And I was very upset about that because I had spent enough time with that. So, I don't know. I mean, like, the director does keep it from entirely falling apart, but his efforts feel uninspired to me. I actually think that, like, events happen, agents move on. They don't give much time for emotions when there's danger or death. And even for an action movie about aliens, it's like too heartless or something. It's like, I don't know. It's largely toothless is what I would say.
Well, like all sequels, it lacks the novelty factor.
Well, right?
So in 1997, was that the first one?
Yeah, I think so.
It was all new and different. And of course, it has the chemistry of Will Smith at his prime. And totally even Tommy Lee Jones in the perfect foil for him. These two are not...
No, and you know
Smith and Jones.
Do you know what's different? The original.
Alas.
And part of what made the original Men in Black. You can have that one.
That was funny.
You can have.
Think back on that one. If you're an English listener, you'll know exactly what I did there.
Fair enough. I'm fine with that. Yes, but part of what made the original Men in Black movies enjoyable was that Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, they had an at odds dynamic. They were always like, Smith had like this reaction for every situation, like fusively, and then Tommy Lee Jones was just unmoving. You know, they're always at odds with each other. This isn't that.
Well,
and I'm not saying it had to be necessarily that, but that's one of the things that I thought was cool, or at least enjoyable about the first one. It was that thing.
They try and mine similar territory because she is the new agent and she's on probation.
Yeah, but she's cool and he's doing dumb shit. Like, it's weird.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's no
She's pretty good in a suit too, I have to say, Tessa Thompson.
Tessa Thompson is a highly attractive woman, shall we say. I actually can't decide whether she's better looking than Liam Hemsworth, possibly.
Chris Hemsworth.
Sorry,
she's
Chris
definitely
Hemsworth.
Better looking than Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I was thinking the other day? Can you imagine being Chris Hemsworth's wife? The fucking stress and pressure on you to be hot all the time.
I read somewhere, speaking of that,
yeah,
he's out promoting this film, as of course he would be.
Yeah.
And I think he was in Bali or in Indonesia somewhere. And apparently whenever he goes out and does this, he invites like 6 or 7 of his mates.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they, oh, all go, cool. They all go to an entourage thing.
Entourage thing, absolutely.
And apparently she got wind that he was out till like 6 a.m. partying it up and then had to get up for whatever and phoned in basically a few interviews and did a poor job. And apparently she just bawled him out and just said,
really?
Sort your shit out or come home and be with the kids, you asshole.
Oh!
And I don't know where the evidence of that and who dropped the dime on that, whether it's just new idea / Woman's Day bullshit.
It could be bullshit, but...
But apparently he's not making another film. He's spending the rest of the year at home. So he's been 6 months after this trip at home.
Well, he's probably been like away for like 2 years doing fucking Avengers movies and stuff.
Or the press for their whatever.
Oh, yeah, whatever. This guy would be like, yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, it'll be more power. That's fine. They're married. They have kids.
Dude,
of course,
dude.
That kind
he's
of
got
shit.
A kid. He's yeah. got a wife. Yeah. Of course he gets fucking ass raped every now and then. No question, man.
And not the way Wayne prefers.
So, yeah.
Sorry, that was a really poor taste joke.
No, it's fine.
Unlike that Smith & Jones joke.
Yeah, that was fucking gold.
Yeah, I think also the script in this film is really, really average. The twist, if I may generously call it that, is so blatantly
Paul
obvious.
Paul called it about 20 minutes earlier.
Oh, that's only because I then leaned over to go on the record. I had called this by 30 minutes into the film.
Yeah, the plot-o-matic.
It was so bleedingly obvious. And I actually said to you, I will give this an extra half a star if I'm wrong about the twist.
It's your and also the way that it happens is your standard sort of writing 101, where it's like, present this possibility, then refute it. And then bring it back.
Well, it even throws the very obvious, hey, you're meant to think it's this person trope in there.
Yeah.
And it's so obvious it's not that person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the script was real garbage. And by the time you get to the explanation, I'll go into this a bit more in spoilers, it's exceedingly obvious where the huge plot holes in this film are. As well as the most annoying thing to me about the whole film, which all by itself lowers it half a star. The MacGuffin in the film is treated with disdain and contempt.
Yeah.
Like, the MacGuffin in this film is this incredibly powerful something.
Yes.
Right, to stay vague for spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
And yet people literally put it on a table or next to them or drop it into a pocket.
Pocket, yeah, exactly.
Whilst they're espousing its virtues and how important it is, but they're not hoarding it and looking at, oh my
There's
God.
There's no case for it or
like,
anything.
Like, what
it's just
the fuck
thing.
Is this shit?
It's really weird. It's so. That's the thing. Execution is probably, I don't know, script and execution, which is just a poor combination if both of those suck.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't think anyone's bad in the movie. Like, Liam Neeson's a bit flat. Emma Thompson's underused. I think both Hemsworth and Thompson are fine with what they've got to do, but they don't make a hell of a lot of impression because the script doesn't let them.
Yeah, and there's a sort of a cursory nod to what's called Men in Black, but there's women in the organization.
I wish they had to. Much like they did with Dark Phoenix, as we reviewed last week.
Yeah, I find that fucking annoying. I'm sorry. I know you all think I'm a chauvinist pig, but sometimes there's a way of doing this subtly where it's a thing that dawns on you instead of just putting it on the screen. Well,
that might be fair to say.
You know, I'm just saying.
All right, anything else you want to say generally about
let's
the film?
Spoilers.
All right, then let's head into spoilers on the other side of this soundbite. Head away, Wayne. Spoil the shit out of it. What else?
There's a Thor joke in here.
That was the funniest bit of the whole
film. There's a Thor joke in here that I actually quite liked because like there was some scuffle, and then an actual just normal hammer, like a normal carpenter's hammer, drops. Hemsworth gets thrown against it, picks it up, and there's a strikes a pose kind of.
And then the music.
There's
swells.
A bit of music, yeah. This sounds oddly Avengery. I was like, ha 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 ha. And frankly, I know that's rude. I don't care. I'm like.
No, it was deliberately a laugh.
No, and it was, but you could argue it was an obvious joke to make, but I was happy
it was
with
fine.
It. I was like, good, good.
And the cinema, one of the few times they did laugh. The other character, which we haven't mentioned or because it was a spoiler, who's briefly glimpsed early in the film and then comes back to it in a big way, is Kumail Nanjiani's Pawnee.
Yes.
Who is this little alien warrior who's 2-3 inches tall.
Yep, CGI
completely CGI. And he attaches himself to Tessa Thompson's Agent M.
Yep.
And sort of becomes her vassal or whatever, her soldier. And
The
only scene where the chemistry really sparks is when they're in the desert and they're trying to fix something.
Yes.
Fix the weapon itself. And they're both angry at each other for perceived differences.
Yep.
And they're communicating through him.
Absolutely.
Through this little alien. So tell Wayne
he's
once again got it wrong with his ridiculous opinions. And the guy turns around and goes,
da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, 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 exactly.
That's a great scene. And it pays off really well towards the end.
That moment of that scene was good, and it was the time you decided you liked that porny character,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, at that point I went, this is the best character in the film.
However, that whole collection of, or I guess that part of the movie where they go into the desert.
Before that's terrible.
Yeah, that whole sequence just hung there because yep. I'm like, what's going on here? This is boring. They're just sitting there in the desert, and he's trying to fix something, and then this is their exposition moment. But it was so obviously that because nothing happened for like what seemed like 10 minutes.
And then we flash to Rebecca Ferguson's island fortress.
Now,
and we get, she was so weird looking that Wayne didn't recognize one of the loves of his life.
No, but you know what? Do you know what? This is the thing though, right? Because she's got this Sia kind of hairstyle. It's a good description. And she was talking and she was doing things. But when I saw her, I didn't recognize her, but I immediately liked something about her. I was like, oh, she's lovely. And I was looking at her eyes going, who is this? And then finally you went, hey, is that your girlfriend? I went, yes! So Rebecca Ferguson is awesome in everything she does. She's in a new movie that I can't remember the name of. Anyway, bitch, please.
We should work that out fast and watch it.
She's blonde. I don't know. Anyway, it could be that I just liked her very much as opposed to that character.
That whole scene
doesn't
work.
Because it didn't
work
do really much for the movie.
It's ridiculous. That
was the best thing about the film for me. Rick Ferguson was in it.
Really?
That's it.
You might be about to rate this lower than I am then.
No. It's unrepugnant, this movie. That's what I would call it. It doesn't offend you. It doesn't impress you.
But it doesn't knock anything out of the park either.
Absolutely
not. With the exception of Pawnee and some of his jokes, which are pretty funny.
I'm
being generous.
No, yeah, look, because he's got that funny accent or whatever. I'm sorry, it's a funny accent. He's a comedian. I'm sorry. All right. I can say, I don't give a fuck, people. All right. It's funny. It sounds funny, and he knows it. All right. That's what gave that character some life. Fuck off. It's a funny accent. I think Aussie's a funny accent, too. So there you go.
What do you mean, Cobber?
See? Perfect. Perfect. Laughing my asshole off here. So.
I think the other thing which really, really sticks in my
craw. You know what? It's not a funny accent. He's got a funny speech impediment. He's got a slight.
Oh, that's much better.
That is way better! It's like a fucking lisp. But never mind. Anyway. This is the dumbest shit anyone ever said in the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating here.
Time!
No problem at all.
The other thing is, once the film... So, all right, we get to... Turns out that they keep saying, what is it? We defeated the Hive, which are the alien race who are invading Earth, with just our wits and whatever, Series 7, whatever fucking gun or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And they refer to that 19 times.
Yep.
And we didn't get to see that in the film. It just sort of cuts away at a key moment. I'm like, oh, well, that's clearly bullshit. That didn't happen. And Liam Neeson's the bad guy, and he's a member of the Hive. And I wasn't sure whether Chris Hemsworth was or wasn't. That was the only thing I wasn't sure
I didn't even think of that because I thought, no, something's... Just... Yeah, you're right, because he was weird.
Which
he was weird.
Is my point. The script now falls apart for two basic reasons. Why let Chris Hemsworth's character live at that moment and not turn him into a member of the Hive like Hi-T?
Yeah, good
Makes
point.
No sense.
I never even thought about that, actually.
Yet he's changed somehow. What how? So his alien mate, who's carrying the star star harnessing weapon, recognizes he's changed when he touches him, and so chooses to give it to Tessa Thompson's
That's
Agent
right.
M rather than him.
And it turns out he changed because he was neuralized.
Right.
Yes.
That's it. Why just neuralize him? Why not just kill him off or take him over exactly the same way that you have?
Well, you don't kill him
Hi-T.
Off so you can infiltrate the thing. They'll wonder why an agent died. You have to explain that off.
Well, why not just turn him into a member of the Hive like they did with Hi-T?
Yeah. No, I'm trying.
Makes no sense.
I'm fighting for the
None
movie
at
here.
All.
Yeah.
None at all. Which leads me to the other thing. Agent O, Emma Thompson, sends the probationary officer M to the London field office to investigate something's off.
I know!
Which turns out to be, she believes there's a mob. Like, why would you send a probationary officer?
Okay, again, playing devil's advocate.
Good luck.
If Tess Thompson is a new agent, she is the least likely to be corrupted.
But she's not saying that anyone in our office is any risk of being infiltrated.
But she doesn't know if there's an infiltration.
No, she says, later on, I did know. At the end of the film, she says, oh yeah, I suspected something was up.
Suspected, didn't know.
Still, it's terrible.
Well,
why would you say, you would send someone important, someone who is absolutely rock solid, who's been in the organization, your left or right hand man or woman.
Did she not send Chris Hemsworth? No, she
didn't.
No,
he was already there.
That's why he was already there. Yeah, it's bullshit. Again, I was trying.
The script, once it's all revealed, really falls apart. It doesn't make any
sense.
Your
first assignment is going to, like, you know, untrack him. I don't think so.
Exactly. And it fix up the entire London field office, you rookie, you.
And it whips through her train. It basically...
Oh, yeah, in a montage.
No, it wasn't. It's not, barely not even, a montage. Yeah. It goes, you have been trained in the weapons of MIB. That's it. So now we just... Okay, guys, she's, you know...
Yeah, even her getting in the way she got in, rather than just neuralizing her, is bullshit. Like, I didn't buy it for a second.
Yeah, It's riddled with plots. But you know what? I can forgive those plots if you just entertain me every other time.
Yeah.
And that's what I didn't do.
We often say on this show that if you don't entertain us enough or engage us enough in the film, then little bits and pieces, little things that stick out will be much more noticeable.
Absolutely. This is how Christopher Nolan has made his career. He will put some bullshit in front of you that you like
just swallow.
Yeah, and because you're entertained the whole time, you don't care The Dark Knight Rises. So
I wasn't entertained the whole time, Dark Knight Rises.
I loved that movie, but looking at it again, I'm like, why? Yeah, you know how it is. Anyway.
I do indeed. All right, look, that's pretty much all I've got to say about Men in Black International. It's not a great film. It's, as you said, it's not egregiously offensive. My final thoughts, if you're a fan of this series, you may as well check it out. But if you're not, there is nothing to bring you in here. Do not bother. Yeah. I'm going to give it a 40 flat.
Ah, a 49.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's much higher than I thought you were
going to get. See, here it is. I was trying to think about just what I said. I'm probably ragging on it because I'm just telling you about the things that annoyed me. But the truth is, I wasn't offended in the movie.
Well, so you probably should have given more shtick to what was good about it.
I like the lead characters, and it was a nostalgia kick to see Men in Black again because I liked the original one. It didn't offend me, but it didn't pass. It only just failed. So, yeah, 49. That's 49. That makes about right.
Okay. Well, there you go. It's a fail overall from us, and that continuing a trend of some really average films of late.
Yeah, you know, they've really, really like promoted the crap out of this movie. Again, because I think Hemsworth is in it. So...
There were a lot of trailers here. I don't know if that's because he's Australian and I think the marketing was less so elsewhere. So we'll see. I don't think it's going to turn a huge profit. I don't think we're going to see any more Men in Black films anytime soon. But I could be wrong. And if so, well, I'll probably still see the next one.
I still like Silver Guns. Silver Guns with a blue light. It's really cool.
Sure. All right, that's our review of Men in Black International. Let us know if you have a very different opinion, or indeed even if you support the one that we have put forward. You can do so on Twitter at TheCountdownPC, via email address at TheCountdownPodcast@gmail.com, or indeed via our Facebook listener community. Link is in the show notes. Wayne, it was a pleasure. It was the first time we saw a movie together in a long time.
It's been some time.
So that was fun enough, I guess, to be able to talk about and start to formulate the opinion then and there during the cinema.
Right.
We will catch you next week with our review of Child's Play, except Wayne won't because he's not going
to
be here.
Fuck that shit. I'm not watching that shit. Fuck it.
Yeah, we'll have Duty from the Shaken Not Nerd podcast on with me to do our review of Child's Play and save Wayne the pain.
Wicked. We should do this with every horror movie.
And this has been The Soundboard.
All of your arguments are like my asshole, man.
Catch you next week.